There's something almost poetic about how life's biggest mistakes often begin with attraction. Standing at a high school college fair in Houston, surrounded by folding tables and glossy brochures, a young student locks eyes with a charismatic Hampton University recruiter, light-skinned, charming, impossibly confident. In that moment, attending a prestigious out-of-state university transforms from impossible dream to tangible reality. Never mind the financial logistics or the warnings from a worried mother who sees disaster ahead. The decision gets made, applications fly out, and Howard University sends back an acceptance letter that feels like validation. 17 scholarships later, there's still a gap, one that gets filled with $10,000 in loans the first year, then more as scholarships slip away. By graduation, the monthly bill arrives, almost $800 for private loans alone, with 12 years to pay them off. What seemed like an investment in the future becomes a sentence, one that dictates every decision, every relationship, every moment of peace for decades to come. The calls start at 6 a.m., sometimes on Christmas Eve, delivered by collectors who sound disturbingly cheerful as they remind you of your failure. Those airport rides with mom become ritual donuts, kolaches, Whataburger, and gentle suggestions about finding a real career. Finance, maybe. Law, since words come easily. The subtext? This writing thing isn't working, especially when collectors call her too, when she co-signed loans against her better judgment. But alternative paths require skills you don't have, or temperaments you can't fake. Math abilities are non-existent, courtesy of ninth grade algebra, taught by an uncertified substitute after the real teacher died. What remains from that year? A football player with a nice ass and a classmate hiding a razor under her tongue. Not exactly preparation for corporate finance. Teaching crosses the mind. Black male teachers represent only 2% of educators nationally, and those teachers profoundly impacted childhood. But liking most children who aren't related to you, that's a prerequisite you can't manufacture. Even the joke about starting a spiritual hustle, speaking about political issues while Kelly Price songs play, can't quite materialize. Despite watching Kanye exploit Black cultural traditions with Sunday service, there's still too much heart to scam desperate people seeking meaning. The toilet handle at mom's house needs shaking, a small broken thing dad never fixes. During bathroom visits home, there's a practiced routine. Drink just enough water to make purging easier. Turn on both faucets to mask the sound. She never confronts it directly, though discomfort with weight was never secret. Fifth grade brought dramatic appetite increases, Happy Meals evolving into 20-piece nugget orders. Higher calorie intake coincided with withdrawal, coping with an alcoholic father's anger. By high school, extreme portions became normal. Senior year, purging began. College brought weight loss through depression and barely eating. Bulimia was never consistent, but purging became intermittent, returning when money problems make everything else feel impossible. As the child of an alcoholic, there's pride in starting drinking later than friends, believing the pattern could be broken. But control itself becomes the addiction, the desperate need to manage some aspect of life when debt drowns everything else. After bed bugs and failed hookups, determination returns. Following Aaliyah's wisdom to dust it off and try again, another encounter gets arranged. He violates the golden rule. When it's all over, please get up and leave. He lingers, pitying the lack of boyfriend experience. Queer people often experience in their 30s what straight people experience in their teens. Then chance appears. CrossFit sculpted, brilliant, handsome, funny, amazing in bed. Yet every interaction triggers choking, freezing, shrinking. Despite accomplishments, life revolves around $1,000 plus monthly student loan payments, preventing retirement savings or homeownership. Instead of addressing insecurities, reasons get created not to like him. When nerve finally builds to reconnect, chance reveals he's left his high-paying job for something more fulfilling, admitting he found the writing career choice braver. When asked how important money is to the future, the answer is immediate and devastating. It's everything. I am not trying to struggle anymore. Mornings begin at 6 a.m. with Morning Joe, then drift to Instagram, a sanctuary where being on as a writer isn't required. There's a toxic pattern, obsessively checking two profiles. One flaunts wealth shamelessly, designer shopping sprees, six-figure salary broadcasts, first-class flights, Michelin-starred restaurants. The other is physically perfect, but insufferably corny. Clearly unpopular growing up, now overcompensating with gallery openings and obscure foreign films. Understanding these are manufactured highlight reels doesn't prevent the platform from corroding mental health. Meanwhile, healthcare becomes another burden. Raised by a nurse mother who ensured proper care, aging out of her insurance brought an excruciating ear infection within a month. Now paying $350 for a shitty HMO with high deductibles, becoming exactly what was never wanted, that black man avoiding doctors. When pain becomes unbearable, urgent care doctors inexplicably try diagnosing syphilis despite explanations to the contrary. An unspoken apology lingers. I'm sorry for scratching "die mom and dad" into my bedroom walls. The anger wasn't inherited from dad. It came from being trapped in that hostile house without socialization. While dad's rage commands attention like a town crier, mother and son simmer quietly. There's fear that once true anger gets unleashed, it becomes uncontrollable, carrying a lifetime of residual fury. This explains childhood fights with Chris, Jarek, Gilberto, Gregory, even Ebony over notebook paper, each coinciding with dad's frequent outbursts. Meanwhile, billionaire Robert F. Smith stunned 396 Morehouse graduates by eliminating their student loans, $34 million, the largest single donation to erase student debt. This contrasted sharply with Obama's 2013 Morehouse address, lecturing that there's no longer any room for excuses despite persistent systemic barriers. The same mindset glorifies wealthy white men like Trump, who received an estimated $413 million from his father through tax schemes, yet gets celebrated for business acumen. If Trump were black, he'd be condemned as irresponsible. Society makes discussing money harder than discussing sex, yet inspirational debt payoff stories ignore privilege and offer useless advice. Despite every side hustle, the debt remains. Of six-figure debt, the $80,000 private loan consolidation will be paid off by 2021-2022, but smaller government loans have ballooned from interest. The alternative? Join 3 million Americans over 60 still paying off student loans, having Social Security garnished to satisfy $86 billion in educational debt. Refusing to die poor means rejecting that fate. For over a decade, loans controlled thinking far more than necessary. The advice? Forgive yourself. You did what you thought was best. The system is designed for your failure. Pay what you can, but allow yourself joy meanwhile. We're not killing industries. We're simply less well off than previous generations, facing lower earnings and fewer assets. Freedom means investing in yourself, caring for family, buying homes, escaping the sentence that says your mistake at 18 defines your entire life.